What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is a chewing gum, as well as they've got mints. It's got caffeine, L-theanine, and vitamins B6 and 12. It helps with memory and focus. So if you ever feel like you need a little bit of a mental boost, you know, you got a big meeting or you got to make a bunch of phone calls, or, you know, you just ever just feel like you need a little something to help you feel a little bit sharper, I like to look to NeuroGum for that. So if I'm making calls to my clients, going for a workout, and I feel like I just need some focus, I'll chew a piece. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
Also, shout out to our guys over at Captain Beard Co. If you're a guy and have a beard and you're looking for great grooming products, they've got unbelievable stuff. They've got the beard butter, they've got the balm, the oils, and they've started making men's body wash as well as candles. I mean, I love this shit. I mean, it smells amazing. It's great for the beard and all natural ingredients. You can't beat it. If you're looking for a great product, check them out. Use our promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and before we get started on this show, we just would like to ask a favor of you guys. You know, if you guys have ever watched any of our episodes and you've gotten something out of it, or it's made you laugh, entertained you, maybe you learned something, maybe it inspired you to go do something, you know, tell a friend. That's the nicest thing you can do, is share the show with someone. You know, we're still pretty new at this and we're trying to grow it. So you could tell a friend, that would be awesome. Also, if you could hit that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. We looked at our statistics recently and it was like 54% of people that watch the shows on YouTube, at least, are not subscribed. So, you know, if you're watching and you could click that button up at the top right for us, we'd really appreciate it. Now we can get into the show here. So, you know, it's one of our duet episodes. We've done this several times where we go over James Clear's 3-2-1, and
it just makes you think. It's a great, simple, every week little newsletter.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's a great little newsletter. If you ever just subscribe to it, it's free, and then they send it to you. So that was kind of one of the game plans for today. But before we get into that, you know, how you doing, Pat? How are things?
Sold the house. Out of the house officially, no longer a homeowner, which is kind of sad. Of, you know, being a mortgage lender, yeah. Preaching home ownership, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's very weird. But not for long. We'll see what happens. But no, yeah, sold the house. Out of that, God, man, it was fucking stressful. Moving sucks. People, when you buy a house or when you sell a house, moving is not fun. It's about, you know, people complain about the mortgage process and the process of buying a house. No, fucking moving. That's the worst fucking part of everything.
I'll look to our former guest, Blake Baumgartner, B-E-K. With BEK Moving.
Exactly.
They're the best.
Yeah, they're awesome. Other than that, doing pretty well. And how about yourself? You got the fights coming up.
Yeah,
and you mentioned an embarrassing moment. Please.
God, I'm like, I like don't even want to tell
yes,
it on here.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing.
That's fine.
And like, I've not been this embarrassed since like grade school, high school, like, oh God, dude, I think about it and it's still just like, oh, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe I did that. Okay. So I guess I gotta tell the whole story from the beginning. So I was training out at Revive out in St. Charles, or out in St. Peter's. And, you know, I had a really good training session, felt awesome, had a lot of good rounds, you know, stayed toward the end and looked like everybody was kind of cleaning up and leaving. And, you know, that's not my normal gym. So I didn't want to like take up time and like use the shower and people be like waiting for me to like leave, because I normally shower after I train almost every time. So I noticed when I was driving there, I drive right by a Club Fitness, and I have a membership to Club Fitness, and I go to the one by my house and the one by Gina's parents' house, by our old house, all the time. And I've got the membership where I can go to any of them. So I'm like, oh cool, I'll run in there. I know they got a sauna. I looked up online, they got a sauna. I've never been to this location, so that's a pretty key component here. Never been to this location. So I was like, oh cool, they got a sauna. I'm big on the sauna. So I was like, oh cool, I'll rip a sauna session and then jump right in the shower and head home. So I'm walking in there. I'm trying to get the lay of the land. I'm like looking around. Okay, looks like locker rooms are over that way. All right, I start walking over there. Cause I was like, I'm not working out. I'm literally just going in here. I know that the sauna is going to be in the locker room. And I was like, all right, cool. Just walk straight there. And while I'm there, I'm looking at my phone. I think I was actually on a phone call. I had my headphones in talking. And then, and so just the setup of the locker room, it's a hallway. And then you go left, you go to it's the men's side, you go right, it's the women's side. At the other Club Fitness that I go to in Afton, it's the opposite. Men's are the right, women's are the left. So this one, I walk in unknowingly to the women's side. So I'm in there. I strip down all the way to my boxers. So I go in my boxers and I get in the sauna in my boxers typically because I normally just do that. And then I even like set my shit up in the shower. So I go put my towel on there so I can just go straight there. And I'm stripped down to my boxers. I got my headphones in. I got my podcast queued up. I got my little timer set up outside the sauna. And I set the timer. I set my phone down, like propped it up like this so that I can see it. And all of a sudden I turn and I see like this blonde girl, and I go, and all of a sudden she like comes out at like gets up out of this, like off her seat in the sauna and like comes to her and she's, you're in the wrong. I go, oh my God. And like, I freaked out, bro. Like, I'm like, I had the headphones and I'm like, oh my God. And like one of my headphones falls out. I'm like trying to scramble to get fucking clothes on because I'm in my boxers and then another girl walks in. I'm like, you're right. She's like, you're in the wrong. I go, I know. I just realized it. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to do anything weird. I'm not trying to be weird. Like, and then like I lost one of my headphones and I couldn't find it. So I'm like looking around in the locker room, like on my hands and knees, like trying to like, and eventually I find my AirPod and then like, just like grab all my shit and just run across the hall. Like, oh God, dude, it was so embarrassing. And like, oh, I was like, thank God it was these only like these two girls that like saw me in there. And like, but I was like, man, what if I would have just walked in and there would have been a lady in there, like I could have been like, ooh, and turned right around and like, it wouldn't have been as big of a deal. But the fact that I was like, had all my shit like set up, I was like set up and like, you know, cause no one was in there. So like, I didn't know. And like, once you're in there, like I didn't go to the toilets and see like, oh, there's no urinals here. That's weird. Like I didn't get that far. I would just like strip down and in my boxers and walk over to the sauna. And then I run into this chick and I'm like, oh my God, bro. Oh, I just. So embarrassing. And but yeah, dude, it was oh God, I was just like, I can't remember the last time I like felt that like sense of embarrassment. I was just like, God, bro. And it was so uncomfortable. I mean, could have been worse, I guess. Yeah. But thank God I didn't like get out of the shower or something, or like get that far. Or at least I wasn't like halfway through the sauna session and like all sweaty and it happens. That would have been even worse.
Right. Now you're slipping and sliding.
I'm slipping and sliding and I'm fucking soaking wet. Like, yeah.
Dude. Or you're in the middle of the shower.
Yeah. And all of a sudden I hear women's voices and I'm like, what the fuck do I guess I just got to like hang out in here till I don't hear anybody. Hope they don't like see my hairy ass legs. Yeah, no, it was. So I'm definitely pay more attention as you're walking into a locker room or especially a gym that you've never been to. Make sure you're going into the right side.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, that was my embarrassing story. I don't know what you were expecting, but
no, I mean, once you started talking about it, you like, as soon as you mentioned like lockers over this way, I was like,
you went into the wrong one, didn't
he? He did it.
Oh God, dude. And I was like sitting in there. I'm just like,
but like, that's the thing. It could have been way worse.
It could have been way worse for sure. But it also
now it's
been,
a funny story.
It's a funny story. Yeah. And I just can't remember last time, like, because, you know, when you're a kid, I feel like you get embarrassed for like all these like for shit all the time.
All the time. All the
time.
You
know? And like, I haven't felt that like feeling in years.
Yeah.
You know,
like, it's kind of probably felt kind of nice. Hey,
humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was man. Oh God. I just can't believe I did. I was like, fuck. Like, I like got home and I was like, I'm just going to tell nobody. I mean, like, not even, but then the second I walked in the door, I was like, Gina, I did the fucking stupidest thing. And like that was like my thought. I was like, oh, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm not even going to tell Pat. I'm not going to tell. That way, I'm never going to tell this story on the podcast. No fucking way. Here we are.
Yeah. You texted me pretty quick about that.
Yeah. Well, I was like, fuck, it'll be a funny story. It'll be a funny story to tell.
Exactly.
But it's still not in. There it goes. Yeah. But anyway, so. Yeah, moral of the story is pay attention to which locker room you're walking into.
Yeah, so. I think the most embarrassing thing I did this last week was parking somebody's parking spot at the apartment complex, and I'm not being happy about it.
Yeah, oh, really? Getting a little tussle.
Like, this is my spot. This is reserved. I'm like, where does it say reserved at? Not there. Well, it should be painted on. It's not. But then there was another.
Do they have official reserve spots?
There's reserve spots, and then like that's what's crazy. Like, there's another one. Like a guy that lives right next to us, super nice, and I didn't realize his spot. Like, again, the paint fades. And so there's another. So I parked in his spot, not knowing. And he just shot me a quick text. He goes, hey, man, just wanted to let you know, like, that's reserved. That's my spot. Like, I'm not saying it. I just wanted to let you know. So I'm like, dude, I'll go move it. I'm so sorry. I'll go move it right now. But he was, like, nice about it. Super nice. The other person was like, you're in my spot. I'm like, fuck.
Get over it.
I'll be gone in 5 minutes. I'm unloading shit into my apartment.
Well, yeah, for sure, especially when you're moving.
Right.
Like, you're just trying to get the place closest to the fucking door.
Right. And I was just like, listen, I apologize. Can I take this up? No. Please. Sure. So loaded the shit back in my car. Load my shit up in my car. Fun. Apartment living.
And so did you get a storage unit? Do you have like stuff in a storage unit, or did you get everything into the apartment? Or?
So no, my apartment's a fucking disaster right now. I'm trying to figure out how the lay of the land and how I want to set things up. Like, I had things put away, and then like, I started
from a 2,500 square foot house to
less than 1,100 square foot apartment.
Yeah. An adjustment there.
Yeah. So, and then like trying to figure out like the flow of the kitchen. So like the island and the sink and the fridge and like the oven, and then like, where do I want the plates? Like, I had everything put away. And then, like, I started to use it. I'm like, this flows off. Yeah. Like, this isn't. So now I'm like, got everything out on the countertops, and I'm like staring at it. Fuck, this is like a puzzle. Like, how the fuck am I gonna, like, where am I gonna put this shit? Like, what's gonna make the most sense? So who knows? I got stuff put away now, and I'm probably gonna change it again. And who knows? But no, like, I still have shit in boxes trying to get that shit squared away. We loaded up, because Melissa and Dalton had things at my house in the basement. They're being very kind to return the favor and let me put stuff at their house, but filled up their garage, filled up their basement, and I still had shit, so I got a storage unit. Yeah. So, luckily storage is like just outside the parking lot of where the apartment is. So
that's cool.
Literally.
Conveniently placed.
Yeah, minute drive. it's not bad, but I mean, it's going to take a minute, and then like, moving stuff around and realizing like all the shit that I still have, like all my office stuff. I mean, I had those built-ins and those were full, and now it's like, right now I'm using them as a TV stand.
Yeah. Oh,
shit. Until I can get my wall mounts
on. All your books and stuff?
Well, like, yeah, I've just got them in a big plastic.
Yeah. Oh,
Tupperware thing.
Plastic container. Yeah.
And so I've got, there's two of them just stacked up in my bedroom, and I'm just, right now, because I haven't gotten a TV stand to hang my TV yet. I'm waiting for that to come in.
Yeah.
And so
this is like going to be a temporary place for you too. So it's like, you don't want to like buy a bunch of furniture that like, not going to fit in a new place, because you don't know where, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, and so like my new office is my bedroom. My desk is in my bedroom. So that's going to be fun. But like behind it, I'm going to kind of build it up so it doesn't look as office like bedroomy. So like, I've got one of my brown leather chairs sitting behind it, and I bought a bookshelf to put stuff on, so like when you're looking in the background, you're not staring at my bed. Like, you won't see my bed
for sure.
Stuff like that,
especially when you're making your video, like your Friday videos and stuff,
or like when I'm doing my Zoom consultations with clients.
Always come over here and film your your Friday videos here.
Yeah. Well, no more Friday videos. Text.
Oh, yeah,
much
texting, yeah.
Much easier. Yeah, but like all my other social, all the other social posts that I put on there, now it's just fucking instead of walking on a street and walking on a treadmill.
Yeah.
But and I mean, it's fun. Like, it's an adjustment, but I'm looking forward to it. The people there are amazing.
Well, I'm sure you meet some cool people.
Yeah. And it helps because Melissa lived there when she first moved out. Her and Dalton lived there, and people that they became friends with are still there. And that was part of the reason why I chose to live there, because the boys are familiar with those people. And, you know, last Saturday we went up and hung out at the pool with just me and the boys. And there was one other lady up there. And then the next thing you know, five or six other people come filing in, and it's all people that Melissa and Dalton were friends with and the boys know. And so the boys were having a fucking blast, and I'm getting to know all these people and chatting with them. It was great and been very welcoming, very nice. So I'm excited to be in there and meet those people. I miss my neighbors, and obviously that house was beautiful, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely gonna be easier to clean. Not as much for time. Sure. I mean, shit, I worked and cleaned. So that was my life.
Yeah. Speaking of organizing a kitchen, did I tell you we're going to be redoing ours?
Yeah. You mentioned that. I'm stoked.
I cannot wait.
I bet.
I think we're going to probably get probably start in about a month, I think, is the game plan. Wyatt, a former guest, is going to be helping me with it and kind of running the show. So nice. Stoked. It's been a long time coming. Our kitchen sucks here. So it'll be awesome.
You mentioned what you guys were planning on, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. Awesome. It'll be it'll completely change the house for sure. It'll be a big upgrade for sure. So
probably fucking double the value, for what you're putting into it. Will probably double
for sure.
At least what you're putting into it,
especially with all the other stuff we've done, floors and trim and paint and all the other things. I mean, we got some other things we plan on doing. Eventually, we'll do both bathrooms upstairs and do all new floors and trim upstairs and everything too. But that's we're like, let's get the first floor where people see.
Right.
Let's get that looking good. And then eventually we'll get upstairs fixed up looking nice. But I mean, I don't see us going anywhere for a while. But I don't know. Who knows? So in this industry, you know, I could come across
something
sick in like Sunset Hills. I'm like, oh, there it is. Let's go. Right. You know, that's what Gina and I've always said. It's kind of our game plan.
Sunset Hills.
We'd like to be over there. I mean, it's crazy because it's like 10 minutes away from here. It's like not that far, but. That was just kind of like a thing I've always had in my head. Like, that's where I wanted to be. Yeah. Like, cause I love where my grandma lives in Sunset Hills. So I was like, I'd love to be like somewhere back there off old West Wasson or something like that.
Cool. Awesome.
But anyway, we're going to do the James Clear 321 today, guys. So, reminder, this is his newsletter, comes out every Thursday.
This one
came out today. Yeah. It's 321. So it's three ideas from me. Two quotes from others and one question for you. So Pat and I like to go through these and just chat about it. So first one, compete externally and you compare. Compete internally, improve. I like that. So it's
too.
Like you gotta, you know, beat yourself.
Yeah.
You're the only person
you're in competition with is yourself. Yeah. I mean, I fall into it all the time and I'm sure.
Dude, comparison is the thief of joy, bro. That's just something I always go back to.
Right.
It's so true.
And it's just it just sucks because, well, it doesn't suck, but like our company every month, they put top producer. They've got list the top 100 producers across the country. And you're looking at these numbers and you're just like, fuck, like right there, you know, and they do it per volume. So loan amount, total loan dollar amount on loans. And you got units. So the total of number of loans you actually do. And then they do that month. They do month to date or that for that month. And then per year. So there's four different categories that you're looking at. You look at it. Fuck, we're number four in the country for units for the amount of loans that Nick and I have done. But we're like 30, 40.
In volume.
Yeah. We're looking at
like you can't. Well, especially living here, it's like nothing.
Actually, I think we're tied for fourth. And the person that we're tied with. So Nick and I are sitting right at 50 here and for like 207 units. And the person above us has closed 207 units and has like 100 million. We're like, fuck you.
There's nothing, I mean, living.
No, you can't compete unless you live
in fucking California.
Right. And then like, even like, and then you compare like, cause against like what we do against people in Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Out of the Chesterfield branch, we're down in Imperial. We're in Jefferson County. We do a lot of Jefferson County. Our loan amounts and sales prices are way less than what they're seeing. Like their average loan amount's over 300,000. Ours is just over 2, you know? Right. So, you know, we're closing more units and our volumes are very similar to what they're closing with half the units. Yeah. So it is what it is. But I mean, you start comparing yourself and like, what the fuck? I've been working very hard to just get out of that.
Yeah.
And just focus on the things that I can control.
I feel it all the time. And it's such a, like, especially in the days of, and it always comes from social media. When I see another agent that I know and like, oh, she's like, oh, just signed 2 listings and got a buyer under contract or like, fuck, what am I doing? But then like, it's such a gross feeling. Cause then like, I've gotten better at it, especially recently. Honestly, ever since we started doing this, I'm way more introspective. I'm thinking more. I'm like, man, that's such a fucking gross feeling. Like, why am I doing that?
Right.
Like, look around, look at all the shit that I've done this year. Like, look at all the things I've got going on. I'm plenty busy. I've
right.
got plenty of business going on. Like, sure, there can always be more, but like, it's just like I said, it kind of makes me feel gross.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I go back. I got away from, I still look at the numbers and just kind of see where we're at, just to kind of see if we're in line from where we were last year, if we're doing better or worse, but that's compared to us from last year. And so, like, even my own personal numbers, like, Nick, when all of our numbers show up in the top 100, it's both of ours combined. But I keep track of just mine on sure. my own spreadsheet. And so I've done it every year since I've gotten the business. And so I always go back and look. And I just did it recently to see kind of where I'm at.
Compared to where you started.
Where I was, where I was when I started to where I'm at now. And then where I was last year to where I'm at now.
Mm.
And. Yeah, this year's obviously, the market's different than what it was last year, way less inventory and volume and units are a little bit down compared to where we were last year, but I know what I'm doing to continue to grow my business. And I've made a lot of really good connections and things that are going to set me up for the future that are going to propel me past where I was before. So yeah,
that's what it's all about, man.
Right.
So, let's go to the next one. You want to take this one?
Yeah, let's see. What's number two? Yeah. Two is twice as good as one, but one is definitely indefinitely better than zero. 1 minute of making sales calls is indefinitely better than 0 minutes. 1 minute of meditation is indefinitely better than 0 minutes. Oh, infinite. Sorry. Two is twice as good as one, but one is infinitely better than zero. So 1 minute of sales calls is infinitely better than 0 minutes. 1 minute of meditation is infinitely better than 0 minutes. And 1 minute of writing is infinitely better than 0 minutes. Sure, it might be ideal to spend an hour doing these things, but 1 minute gets you in the game. Now you're learning. Now you're improving. Now results are possible. One doesn't seem like much, but it's something real. At zero, you're still dreaming.
Man,
that's
dude.
Fucking awesome.
I love that shit. That's awesome. Because it's so true. Because I you got to look at.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, you gotta start somewhere, man. Like if you want to be a marathon runner, like I don't recommend going out that first day and running 26 miles.
Yeah.
No, like you
start with one mile.
Like how'd you do there?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, maybe do that for a week. All right. Then maybe you do a mile and a half the next week and you just incrementally make it more and more. But like, I've been really good about my morning routine for probably 3 or 4 weeks now. I've been waking up an hour earlier than I used to. Even on days that I'm going to the gym early at like 6, I'm waking up at 4. Or like 4:30 to get my, cause my little routine takes me about 40-ish minutes to like to do my, cause what I'm doing is I'm reading my 10 pages, doing a minimum of a 5 minute meditation. Sometimes if I have a little bit more, I'll do like a 10 or a 15, but it's usually 5 to 8 minutes. And then I just do one full page journal. And I've been really, really good about that. But like there'd be days where, I can hear the kids getting ready, crying upstairs. Or I can hear them moving around. I feel like they're going to be coming down here soon. I got to like hurry this up. Or maybe I do a smaller meditation today, but it's better than none,
right.
or whatever it is. Just doing a little bit
right.
it helps so much. I think it just, at least I can sort of check the box.
Yeah.
It's not a full completion, but it's like, okay, I got something in today.
Yeah.
Better than none.
Right. When I was getting to my, like when I was starting my non-negotiables, I didn't just jump all in at once.
Yeah.
Like that was, I started off small, so I wanted to get to so many, calls a day on Monday, but I just started off with like one or two just to get the hang of it. And and you can look at it with this podcast. We started with one episode a week and now we're doing two. And now, it's just, sometimes even more.
Yeah. Like, who knows? You'd always eventually do three,
right.
Four,
right.
Get to the Rogan and Williamson level where they're fucking ripping four a week
right.
consistently. Fucking sick.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, but I think
we're
a little ways away.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's so good, dude.
You have to start. It's just starting somewhere. And the last part, zero is still dreaming. Like,
yeah.
If you're not willing to put the work in, you're still just, it's there and it's not actually, I don't know.
Well, like we were talking about with Ryan. This will come out before that episode, but yeah, we just had a buddy of mine on from high school that just hiked the entire Appalachian Trail and it took him a little over 5 months to do so. And it was a crazy story, but you know, he talked about,
excited for that
just,
to come out.
Yeah. And he just talked about like actually just implementing it and doing it.
Yeah. He went, no training.
Like he's like, yeah, I went on like two like little backpacking trips, you know, a couple little backpacking trips, a couple camping trips, but like kind of figured out how to work the backpack and the tent and everything. But like, other than that, there was like no training. And then he just fucking went out there and did it for 5.5 months or whatever it was. Like, insane.
Yeah. Incredible story. I'm excited for that to come out for everybody to hear that.
Oh man, that was one of my favorite ones we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one. The secret is to do a few things for a long time. The challenge is you need to experiment and explore quite a bit to find the thing that is worth doubling down on. It may take a few years or a decade to find a project or relationship cause that you want to commit to for a long time. New things are always coming up. Once you find something you want to do for a long time, you need courage and discipline to say no to the shiny new opportunities. After years of exploring and experimenting, it can be hard to flip the switch and remain focused. You have to be willing to explore widely enough to find your thing and then willing to focus narrowly enough to make it something great. Good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it just comes back to, I mean, obviously, I mean, thinking about like, all right, you're in college. You don't know what you want to do.
Dude, I had no idea.
No clue.
I just knew, I just wanted to do something in business.
Right.
Is what I have. Like, right. Man, I just wanted to, which was like, I just don't want to be a loser. You know, yeah. I was like, I wanted to make money and not right. be a loser. It's like, if I'm, I don't know. Yeah. That was just like what I wanted to do. I'd know like, and then had the opportunity with the restaurant. Okay. Well, there's my opportunity. I can, the richest guy I know just asked me if I wanted to help him open up a restaurant. They're like, there, I guess that I'm not being a loser if I do that. Yeah. You know,
how many things have you tried until you wound up on this? And now guess what? You found that thing that you're passionate about and you were all in on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that, like with baseball, I mean, I was very good at it. And once I realized that I had a talent in it, I went all in on it. But I played football. I played hockey. I played other sports, soccer. Growing up, I did a bunch of different things, but you know, that talent narrowed it down that was like, hey, that's what my best sport is. That's the sport that I love to play. Like I'm going after it. You know.
I wish I would have found mine earlier because
jiu-jitsu.
Well, yeah, jiu-jitsu, but I didn't start wrestling. I didn't start wrestling until I was a sophomore in high school. You know, like if I would have, and this crazy thing is that was always something that I wanted to do. That was always the sport I wanted, but I never had the opportunity because none of the places I went to school, like well, St. Mary's, I started helped start the team, and then like grade school, I guess I could have done it, but I didn't do anything. I was not. I would never have considered myself an athlete until like sophomore year of high school. It was like, you ask any of my buddies growing up, like the way I am now is so different than what I was then. Like I was never the,
that's good. You should be.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But I was never the, you know, I was never an athlete. I played sports, but I was never good. And then wrestling was like the first sport that I was actually just halfway decent at. You know, I was pretty good at it. I was not like, I was never not the best wrestler. I didn't make the state or anything, but like I was competitive and I like finally felt like, oh, this is something I actually really enjoy and something I'm like halfway decent at. And and then kind of slingshot that into jiu-jitsu a few years later and really fall in love with that. That was, that's where I've obviously my passion lies now. So.
Yeah. I mean, and then flip it. I mean, with being parents, obviously, you know, we want the best for our kids, but you know, I'm not going to push my kids into baseball. Connor happens to love it. Oliver, not so much. So I'm not going to push him into it, but I want him to try it. Like I want him to try all sports. You know, I went and got my skate sharpened the other day and I had Connor with me and that motherfucker was just bouncing off the walls. Dad, I want to play hockey. Dad, I want to get this. Dad, I want to get that. Dad, I'm like, let's just try skating first.
Yeah.
Like we've tried it before. You weren't a fan of it. You were two. So now that you're a little bit older, let's try skating again.
Yeah.
And so he's all gung ho about that, but I know Oliver wants to get into hockey. He's mentioned it. And so, well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm going to let them try, but I want them to ultimately make the decision. So, you know, and then when they do, I'm going to encourage them to put their passion into it or like put their all into it. So, but, yeah. All right. Next, two quotes from others. Number one, playwright Eugene Ionesco. Reveals how, yeah, it looks great. Yeah, we're going to go with it. Reveals how to discover something useful. And his quote, It is not the answer that enlightens, but the question. I guess one for what book we just did.
Yeah.
You know, and in what we do, I mean, we ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
To get people to think. What's the one we always stump each other? We'll stump people on. It's the very last one we ask.
Yeah.
Tombstone Game.
Tombstone Game.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we always catch people on by surprise.
Right.
On that.
Yeah. That's why I like it.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
what?
Yeah.
How many times? Like, wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah, I mean, it gets people to think, and every obviously the responses are going to be different from everyone, but the question's still the same, and it still catches people off guard.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, painter Vincent van Gogh on hope. Many people seem to think it foolish, even superstitious, to believe that a world could change. Or the world could still change for the better. And it is true that winter, it's sometimes so bitingly cold that one is tempted to say, what do I care if there is a summer? Its warmth is no help to me now. Yes, evil often seems to surpass good. But then, in spite of us and without our permission, there comes at last an end to the bitter frost. One morning, the wind turns and there is a thaw. So you must still have hope. And so I must still have hope.
I mean, if there, this question would have been, or this quote's perfect for Brian's episode.
Yeah.
I mean, literally just asked him, what's the motivation behind it or mentality kept you going? You know,
I just knew I wasn't going to quit.
Handling the suck, you know? Yeah. And just continue to move forward and having hope that, like, hey, I know that there's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bad days, but there's going to be one, having hope that there's going to be that one good day that's driving me forward. I mean, that's a perfect quote for what we just had him on come out next week or come out later this week.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, like right now, like, I know this, like, my situation, like, yeah. Selling the house, moving into an apartment, that's not ideal. But I know that it's going to be better. I know that this is what I need to do now. It's not helping me now, but I know in the future, it's going to help me in the future. So, I mean, it's almost looking at it like being, you know, optimist or a pessimist. You know, you can look at any situation and look at it and say, the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. I just choose to look at the best in any situation and be like, hey, you know, here. Same thing with like divorce. I mean, we've talked about this multiple times. Like, I could sit here and look at the divorce and be like, this is fucking terrible and be bitter about it and all that. Or I'd be like, fuck it. You know what? This is what's best for us and best for the kids. And what's the best way we can move forward from it? And so, yeah, I mean, I just look for the best in every situation because there always is. There's always hope. There's always hope that something better is going to come from it. You just have to believe it, have faith in it, and trust that you're going to you're doing the right thing, and have faith in yourself that you're doing the right thing to allow for that better future or better outcome to happen.
You don't appreciate the sunshine without the rain, man.
Right.
All right. Last one.
All right. Question for you. A thoughtful question from author Morgan Housel. What was true a generation ago that no longer is? What was true a generation ago that no longer is? And who is clinging to that old truth?
Like, there's a lot that's
changed.
Yeah, a lot's changed in the last generation. Like, look at our parents.
Mm-hmm.
What
is our show about?
Yeah, manhood. You know, they're just talking about like being, it's okay to be emotional. It's okay to talk about your feelings. It's okay to, you know, get vulnerable. That's something that, you know, a generation ago that was not,
but
that
you
was not
still
a,
have,
an okay thing to,
you still have men about. That are afraid to share their emotions, feelings, and be vulnerable.
Yeah, for sure. Plenty of them.
Yeah.
That's definitely true. I mean,
let's look at our business and our job and our industry.
Yeah. I mean, it's so different a generation ago, you know.
I think the people that are from that generation that are still in the business that want to hang on to that.
Yeah.
That are fighting technology.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I mean, can you imagine our lives without DocuSign?
I was asking my mom this cause she was in the business for 47 years. She retired in 2017. So 47 years in the business. I was like, how the fuck did you pull a credit report? She's like, oh, we take an application, and then we would have to mail into the credit bureaus, and then the credit bureaus would mail it back. It would take us 7 to 10 days just to order credit. Oh.
How long did a pre-approve? Like, I guess it.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking a while. It's
taking a while.
There's no instant, pre-approvals.
Nice.
So, but yeah, I mean, and then just changes in guidelines, and people still, you know, fight the guidelines changes. I mean, look at, I'm sure, you know, with the new commission stuff, people are fighting it. Some people are embracing it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, hasn't affected me really. Yeah. I mean, I've come across a couple listings that are not paying a buyer, not paying out a buyer's agent. And
I'm sure it's still sitting.
It's still sitting. Yeah, they're still sitting.
Yeah.
Actually, I literally just had one text me about the one of the ones that was not. And just said, hey, we've lowered the price and we're offering you a commission now. You know,
yeah.
Like, okay, sorry, perfect. Too late. Or they're under contract.
Yeah.
You know, it's ours, one of ours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they, I was like, I'm like, they're pretty happy with the house that they're under contract with. I think they're under contract way better anyway. So,
yeah.
Ended up working out. But, yeah, man, good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So. All right, guys. Well, appreciate you guys tuning in. If you haven't already, please click that subscribe button for us and click that like button. Comment what you guys thought below, and we will see you next time.